is an inward debate. An inward debate. James talks about a man who is double-minded. That's the idea here. I'm double-minded. I'm not sure quite which way to go. I'm debating on the subject in my mind. I really don't know what to do. And that's why he's weak in faith, because he hasn't made up his mind on the things. Should we eat meat or not? Well, I really don't know. I'm really up in the air about this. I really don't know if I should eat meat. So because I'm up in the air, I'm just going to eat vegetables. I want to err on the side of caution. So I'm going to only eat vegetables. I'm not going to eat meat. But that means, I won't, or I can't, or under certain circumstances, But he's sort of debating. He's arguing within himself. And that's what makes him weak. So you have these two people in the Roman church, or two groups of people. One could eat everything, and the other, who is weak, eats vegetables only. So you have a potluck. And you say, hey, we're gonna have the Sunday school picnic, we're gonna kill the fatted calf. We're gonna have barbecue. And that's all we're gonna have is barbecue. What about the guy that eats vegetables only? How do they feel? Going down the line, well, here, have some meat. This chicken's good. This pork chops are good. This roast beef is good. Why don't you eat that? No, I'm just gonna have the vegetables and the salads. They're doing it not because of dietary, I'm on a diet, so I'm going to eat salads. Or, my body can't tolerate certain types of food, so I'm going to be gluten free. Or, I find that eating fish is the better way to go, so I'm only going to eat fish, and it's going to be baked instead of fried, because it's better for you, health-wise. This has nothing to do with those type of people. This has to do with the fact that it has something to do with the spiritual life, the Christian life. I'm not eating it because it makes me a better Christian. Or eating it makes me a worse Christian. They don't have a full knowledge of how to live the Christian life. Remember, Paul says, I can be all things to all men. If he's with Gentiles, he's in a Gentile church, he can go in Gentiles and he can have the smorgasbord of the Gentiles. But yet when he goes to Jerusalem, he can go to the temple and he can shave his head and he can go through the ritual cleansings, and he can do all that because of the Jewish believers. He can go through the ritual cleansings, and so he can be, kosher in his life when he goes to worship at the temple. Paul can be all things to all men. Remember when they were in Antioch, he drawed and quartered Peter verbally. He contested with Peter when Peter went up to Antioch. Peter ate like a Gentile. But then when the Jewish believers came up, he withdrew himself. If I was a Gentile in Antioch and Peter withdrew himself after being up there and having fellowship with me, and all of a sudden the Jewish people came up and he started ostracizing me, how would I feel? How would you feel doing something like that? Wouldn't make me feel good. Who's Peter? Who am I? You don't think I'm as good as the Jews, the Jewish believers? Am I a second class believer? So we have these two people, these two classes of people. One has the faith to eat all things, and the other one eats vegetables only, who's weak in faith. And Paul says, let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. And let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. The word accepted there is the same word as in verse 1. We're friends of God. God has befriended us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Does Jesus judge us? God has accepted us. So if I'm the weak believer, then I'm judging those who eat meat, who eat everything. And if I eat everything, I despise the one who does not eat. Isn't that a great congregation? You're wrong, and boy, I look down my nose at you, I'm better than you. So here we have conscience, something that is within. It has nothing to do with, are these people saved? So Paul gives us the example of food. The one who is weak in faith will eat vegetables only. The one who is not weak in faith will eat everything. And I'm not to despise and or judge the one who does the other. And then Paul talks about people. People, in verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Who am I to judge another? The word judge there is condemn. Send to hell. Am I going to say, Tim Sesharibah, because you're doing what you're doing, I want to send you to hell? Woo! That doesn't sound like a Christian. Nope. Who am I to judge the servant of another? Now there are several words for servant in the scriptures. One is bond slave, doulos. But that's not this word. This is the word for a household servant. This is a household servant. The one who stays and works in the house. The one who's works close with the master. This is what Joseph was. He was a household servant. He got to know the master. Who am I to walk into someone's house and say, this servant, you know, I'm condemning this servant because he's not doing what I think is right. Uh-uh. I don't have a right as a guest to condemn a servant of somebody else, the household servant. They're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're responsible to their master, to their boss. And he's going to stand and fall on what he's doing as far as obeying his master. So I don't have the right to judge you because you're doing what the Lord has told you to do. Next week, you're going to come across the verse that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I'm doing what I'm doing and I believe it's right, then don't condemn me for it. Don't judge me for it. Because the Lord, I'm responsible to the Lord. I'm responsible to the Lord. It's before the Lord that I'm going to stand or fall. We read about the judgment seat of Christ. The wood, hay, and stubble, and the gold, silver, and precious stones. That's what this verse is talking about. Are we building up for ourselves gold, silver, precious stones, or are we building up for ourselves wood, hay, and stubble? We're going to stand one day before the Lord, and the Lord will allow us to stand. In verse 5, we talk about days. Talk about days. I know some Christians who don't celebrate holidays. They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate Easter. There are some Christians who worship on Saturday. There's some called Messianic believers. Not too far from my house, there's a Messianic congregation, and they meet on Saturday. Not calling them Seventh-day Adventists. They're Messianic Jews. And they meet on Saturday. They celebrate Passover. They celebrate Hanukkah. Should I judge them for it? Should they judge me for not celebrating Passover and Hanukkah? Should they judge me for saying, oh, hey, you celebrate Christmas. That's a pagan holiday, you know? That Christmas tree, man, that has roots in downright paganism, you know? Those Easter eggs, man, they're not. That's what does Easter eggs have to do with Christ's resurrection, you know? I regard all days the same. I'm not going to celebrate any day. They're all the same. Some believers, they go the high church, you know, Lent. Wow, you know, they go and they give up something for Lent. Do we look down on them for doing that? We shouldn't. Oh, that's Catholic, you know. Well, the Episcopals do it. They celebrate Lent. Are they believers and they celebrate Lent? He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does it for the Lord, and he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. That's sort of a summary. Both of these people on both sides, whatever they're doing, they're trying to honor God. They're trying to honor God. That's the motive. That's the motive. So, what's the conclusion of the matter? Verse 7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for ourselves. That's an interesting conclusion. I don't live for me, and I don't die for me. Paul says, if I live, I live to honor and glorify God. If I die, I'm going to be with him, and it's going to be far better. It's going to be far better. How many of us want to hold on to this earth? You know, how many want to stick here? You know, this is the familiar. But Brother Ralph, he's far better off. Far better off. He has no ailments, no frailties. He's far better off. But we want to hold on to this earth. But to die and to be with Christ is far better. If we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And for to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. The one wants to condemn, wants to send someone to hell, wants to judge them. And Paul says, Jesus Christ is the Lord of both the living and the dead. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of all. Verse 10, but completely negates what Paul just said. Jesus Christ is Lord of the living and the dead, but he just negated everything he just said. But you, why do you judge your brother? If Jesus Christ is Lord of both the living and the dead, why are you judging your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Aha, he hits both people. He hits both sides. Hits the ones who judge and the ones who show contempt. Nobody is free. Paul says, for we all stand before the judgment seat of God. We're all going to stand before God. God's going to be the ultimate judge. God's going to be the ultimate judge. Am I living for myself or am I living to please him? Do I want to feel good by saying, Doug Dixon, I don't like that facial hair. That facial hair's got to go. You know, Bob, that beard's got to go. Facial hair's a sin. It's not right. Jesus didn't have a beard, you know. I don't know. Don't regard your brother with contempt, because we all have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Or as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ is going to judge us for what we do. We have only one judge. I live for God. I live for Christ. I don't need to judge someone else for what they sincerely hold. Do we judge another congregation because they don't remember the Lord every Sunday? Oh, they'd only do it once a year. Do we look down on them? They only do it once a month. Oh, wow, that's bad. We're better than them. We're better than them. We do it every week. We're better because we do it this way. Oh, are we judgmental? Or we look at them with contempt? Doesn't just have to do with food. It doesn't have to do with days of the week, holidays, or whatever. Doesn't have to do with what day we esteem higher or lower than another. It's not if you're high church or low church. It's not if if you hold to the religious calendar or not. We are going to be judged on the basis of our works. Are we building up for ourselves gold, silver, and precious stones, as we're reminded of this morning? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or are we building up for ourselves wood, hay, and stubble? Wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to be brought forth at the judgment seat. Our works. It was interesting, the comparison. We talk about blood as being, you know, you think if this cup was filled with blood and it had been here for a week, I'm sure the smell in this room would be terrible. If you ever smelled a butcher house, a butcher place, you know, a place where they killed animals, the stench is bad. We think of blood, we think of it as perishable, we think of it as rotting. But the contrast was that the precious blood of Christ, it's valuable. And it was that valuable substance that Christ shed on the cross that purchased our redemption. That valuable item was what purchased our redemption. Our redemption cost much more than all the gold and silver and precious stones this world has to offer. But yet all my good works only amount to good gold, silver, and precious stones, which are going to perish, according to Peter. All my good works are going to perish. They're not worth a hill of beans. They're not worth anything. But yet I'm going to be judged on my good works one day. And I'm wondering, this thought just entered my mind. It's amazing what things enter my mind. Sometimes they're good things and sometimes they're off the wall things. You can take this with a grain of salt. But it says in Revelation that the 24 elders, if that is a picture of the church and believers, they toss their crowns at the feet of the throne. And I'm wondering if our gold, silver, and precious stones won't be made into those crowns that we can toss at the feet of Christ and give to him. It's an off-the-wall thought. It's an off-the-wall thought. So are we building up for ourselves gold, silver, and precious stones that we can build, that we can make a crown, that God can form into a crown, and we can toss at his feet to give him the glory and the honor that he deserves? Or are we going to come there empty-handed and say, Lord, I'm here. And he'll say, come on in. I'll have nothing to give him. Nothing to give him. Just a thought. Just a thought. We must all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Every knee shall bow. No exception. Saved and unsaved, those in heaven and those in hell, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall give praise. The word praise there is to acknowledge or to profess from the heart. Everybody is going to profess from their heart that they know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he deserves the praise that he gets. So then, each one of us will have to give an account of himself to God. Was I a judgmental person? Did I show contempt to my fellow believers? I'm going to have to give an account. The word to give an account there comes from the word to speak, the word logos in Greek, the word to speak upon. I'm going to have to tell the Lord, I'm going to have to give an account, just like those servants did in those parables, the ones with the talents. The Lord comes and says, give an account of your stewardship. Give an account. Tell me what have you been doing down there on earth? Does he not know? Yes, he knows. But we have to tell him. Each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Why? Because servants have to give an account. We're a servant of the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to make right. Tell him what we've been doing. Have we been doing what's right or what's wrong? Have we been judging people, or have we been condemning people, or not? So, the conclusion of the conclusion is, therefore, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. I'm not going to judge you anymore. Stop it. You're doing it, stop it. Stop judging people. But, on the other hand, it's a strong but. But on the other hand, rather, determine, judge this. The word determine there is the word judge. But judge this. I'm not going to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in my brother's way. Let us love one another, for love is of God. I don't want to put a stumbling block in anybody's way. You don't eat meat. Oh, you bad person. You only eat vegetables. You bad person. I'm better than you. That's a stumbling block. Because maybe that person has a reason why that they're not going to eat meat. And so when they all of a sudden you make fun of them and you judge them, they go eat meat and they defile themselves and they fall. I can go that to that place. I can do that. I'm a strong believer. I can, you know, use the internet without filters. I can go to a movie. I can judge between the good movies and bad movies. I can go downtown to the bars and witness to people. I know one guy, he spent a ministry going in and witnessing in bars to prostitutes and drunkards. And it ended up that he had a relationship with a prostitute and became a drunk. Ruined his ministry. I don't want to put an obstacle. I don't want to do something that would cause you to fall. The word obstacle there is the word skandalon in Greek. You know, we get the word scandal. It's the word snare or a trigger trap. You have those critters at Rust Haven, you know, those black and white little kitty cats that run around, you know, that smell good. So what do? You get a little cage, you know, and they go in and they hit this thing and boom, the door comes down. It's a trigger trap. Or, you know, you want to catch a rabbit, you catch a bird, you know. You catch a bird by putting salt on its tail. Haha, you know, if you can get that close, put salt on its tail, you can grab it. But you have the little box, you know, with the stick on there, and you have a string there, and the bird comes, you know, put seed in there, and the bird comes, and boom, and you pull it, and it comes down. It's a trigger trap. I don't want to put a scandal. I don't want to make a scandal out of my brother. I don't want to put an obstacle, a scandal, in front of him. I don't want a stumbling block is to be drawn into error. I don't want to draw him into an error. What do? We're supposed to build one another up. We're supposed to build one another up. So how do we stand up to Paul's admonition? Are we a weak brother or are we the other brother? Are we the one who judges or are we the one that condemns? Hopefully we're neither. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can be reminded, Lord, that we need to look out for those brothers and sisters who might be weak in faith, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those are people that are in this audience, Lord, are ones who will not put a stumbling block or a snare in anybody's way. That we will build one another up, that we won't be condemning, we won't be judgmental. That doesn't mean we can't admonish, that doesn't mean we can't point out sin, point out error. But when it comes to things that are not sin and things that are not error, we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us, Lord, to determine in our minds that we're not going to be like this. I just pray, Lord, that as we go from here, Lord, you'll take us to our different homes in safety. Pray that you'll bring those that are at Bear Lake home safely too. Bring us back this evening, Lord, if it be your will, that we might hear what our brother has to say. We commit this day into your care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.